Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Martin. And I have to thank a lot of people before I start. First of all, I would like to say thanks to Professor Lackner and Professor Herbers for giving me the chance, the opportunity of working as a visiting fellow here at the EKGF. I am particularly grateful as this opportunity was given to me irrespective of the fact that I am quite an exotic figure in this context, as my focus is neither on Chinese studies nor on medieval studies. Some of you may have wondered why I nevertheless so eagerly attend workshops and events that seem to be quite far away from my own areas of interest. But the simple fact is that from every workshop, from every lecture, and from every reading session, I gain so much. Many things I learn there are directly transferable to my field, indeed, and others open up new perspectives that are of eminent relevance for my work. So thank you very much. Likewise, my thanks go to the entire staff of the EKGF, primarily Mrs. Petra Harm, to the research fellows, and to all other visiting fellows and colleagues. Many, many thanks. Well, the paper is on decision-making by prognostic disclosure. As you know, normally the people from the English-speaking academia are starting with a witty joke or with a captivating sketch. As I'm a German, I just start with a boring introduction. Now, that is the overview. The title suggests some preliminary analysis of divination in African context, namely that its main target course is about decision-making, that its methodology, so to say, is on disclosing something, laying open something, and that this is done by applying a projecting direction or array. Well, here's the overview of what I'm gonna do today. First, I want, after the introduction, deal with IFA and with the rootedness of IFA in traditional Yoruba culture. Then I will deal with epistemology in IFA divination. Then say something about the transnational development of IFA divination that has to do with the globalization of Yoruba culture. And then a very, very brief conclusion and postscript. Well, the subtitle again infers that there are two dimensions that may be considered fundamental to African divination and to our understanding of it, namely a specific concept of the world and its entire structure, its setup, and its particular characteristics, and a specific rationale for the formation and circulation of knowledge, pre-shaping an elaborate knowledge system. In view of the topic of my talk, we must not forget, furthermore, that neither the notion of Africa nor of divination can be taken simply at face value or as given. We cannot talk about Africa without considering the invention of Africa, at least if we want to move beyond a simplistic understanding in factual, geographical or topographical terms. And as to divination, I don't think I have to expand on the problems referring to this notion in front of this audience. To cut a very long story short, just a very brief remark on Africa or African. I use this term very unspecific, if not to say loose. Inasmuch as I refer to it as framing geocultural historical contexts that have been globalized beyond their previous geographical localizations and now form part of multiply assorted localized and partly relocalized discourses and practices. So what is Africa or African can be traced both in its historical developments and in its current, though perpetually changing, repositionings. As to divination, I make it easy for myself by not going into any circumstantial reflections and ruminations on its semantics, usage, development, occurrence, etc. I just take a definition that, in my view, reflects the state of the art in research on divination in this domain by implicitly referencing African aspects. I quote from the book edited by Peek and Van Beek: divination is a way to solve a problem of a client by a technique to gain additional knowledge about the client's history and present situation in life. The technique involves a standardized knowledge that accesses hidden aspects of reality, often in a mediated interaction between specialists and client. The technical forms of divination are legion and usually involve a randomizing agent or act, throwing on rubbing objects, animals, or parts of animals, or the inducement of trance and intuition, which then lead to complex interpretations of calculations. Those interpretations and calculations are often based upon substantive bodies of local and regional knowledge, sometimes in the form of a fixed corpus, most often incorporated in more diffuse systems of insight. Unquote. African divination reflects the entire variety of forms and expressions of divinatory practices and concepts that are found all over the world. All these phenomena can be classified according to categories that we find already in classical discourses influenced by Cicero's treatise De Divinatione. So we have inductive geomantic forms of divination that start from decoding meaning of randomly produced patterns or figures. Objects like cowries, bones, seeds, etc., thrown on the ground, or traces left by animals in the sand form structures that, as complex codes, can be deciphered by the diviner who has acquired expertise in this field. This is performed in a likewise complex process of communication and interaction with numerous human and non-human actors and powers involved. Intuitive mediumistic forms of divination start from the innate, acquired, or transmitted disposition of an expert who, due to this peculiar disposition, himself or herself is the locus where complex codes are represented and performed. Methodically, the deciphering is done by the means of spirit possession, trance, or the acquisition of any other extraordinary altered state of consciousness inducing hypersensory modes of perception. However, the differences between those two types of divination should not be overemphasized, as there are many mixed or intermediate forms. For these talks, I have picked just one example of the first category, namely IFA divination. First, I will start to present some formative features of IFA divination. IFA divination is the most prominent and well-known type of divination in Africa. Its prominence has been boosted by its inscription in 2008 on the representative list of the intangible cultural heritage of humanity after having been originally proclaimed in 2005. The brief description given on the UNESCO's website in fact captures the most prominent aspects of IFA divination, at least as far as its generic features are concerned. I do not have the time to play this video, but if you have the chance of visiting the UNESCO webpage, it is very instructive, this short video, because it gives an insight in the most important aspects of IFA divination. Well, IFA refers both to a deity, a god, or I would prefer to use the Yoruba term, namely Orisha, which does not quite describe what we normally understand as god or deity. But IFA can also refer to the divination system. While IFA is used interchangeably both for Orunmila, the Yoruba deity of Orisha of wisdom, as its metonym, and for the divination system, Orunmila refers exclusively to the Orisha. Etymologically, IFA is most likely derived from the verb fa, to wipe, shave, clean, scrape, and accordingly, IFA denotes that which is straight off, the act of wiping. But likewise, as an old dictionary put it, the god of palm nuts, evidently referring to the metonym of Orunmila, and a tool with two handles used to scoop out the pulp of green calabashes. William Bascom, the doyen of research into Ifa divination, in his corresponding classical study, offers as interpretation of the Orisha's name Ifa, I quote, "Because he scrapes Fa, sickness and other evils away from those who are afflicted, or because he scrapes the powder of the divining tray in marking the figures," unquote. The complexity and intricacy of Ifa is breathtaking, even compared to other Yoruba divination systems reflecting mathematically different ordered sets, the most important ones being the 16 cowries divination, that is of similar structure, but is based on simpler divination patterns and references to simplified forms of divinatory poetry, and the colonnat divination, using a quartered colonnat to produce and interpret figures starting from five basic patterns. While both classical and more recent studies have augmented our knowledge, we are still far from having grasped all the multifaceted dimensions of Ifa theory and practice, if you should ever be capable of doing so. To give a rough glimpse of Ifa, I refer simply to the most basic patterns. At the very heart of Ifa is the interpretation of figures, or a combination of signs called Odu, by an expert, an Babalawo, literally father of secrets. Odu thereby refers to an Orisha that is related to Ifa or Orunmila, sometimes as his wife, as well as to the corpus of Yoruba tradition or poetry generally, or to the 256 parts of this corpus specifically. These 256 parts are made up of particular verses or poems, essay, whereby there are around 800 essay per Odu, each also conceptually referred to as the non-verbal communication from the Ifa oracle that has to be decoded by the Babalawo, the diviner. There are essentially two techniques of Ifa divination, but equally representing a cleromantic system, providing for the interpretation of randomly produced figures by casting Ifa, as it is called. The one is based on the production and interpretation of patterns, Odu, generated by operating with 16 palm nuts. For retrieving these patterns, the Babalawo shakes the palm nuts in his hands, then claps his hands, trying to catch as many nuts as possible with his right hand. According to the results, the Babalawo draws lines on the powder on the divination tray, arranged in two columns. For one nut left in his left hand, he marks two lines, for two nuts, one line, and if more than two are left, the operation is invalid and must be repeated. After eight drawings, the Odu is found. Each half of the pattern can be combined with itself or with the other 15 remaining patterns, making up 16 times 16, that is 256 possible Odu, possible figures. In 16 cases, the figures to the right and to the left are identical, as you can see here, constituting the 16 major Odu. A sort of hierarchy starting from the 16 principal Odu and continuing with the 240 ordinary Odu, whereby there are regional variations, becomes operative when alternative options during the consultation of Ifa are given and must be read. The second technique that is regarded as inferior to the usage of 16 ikin is based on casting the divination chain made up of 8 half seashells. By throwing the chain, it is held in the middle so as to make 4 half seashells fall on each side. Concave inner side and convex outer side form likewise patterns that correspond to the 16 basic figures. More important than the figures themselves, though, are the corresponding phrases or poems related to the patterns and applied as tools of interpretation, likewise called odu, and forming a corpus of orature, orally transmitted, unwritten scriptures, the odu ifa. They are made up of a broad variety of genres, from incantations to proverbs. The Babalawo is expected to memorize these odus and to be able to apply them in the appropriate way when consulted. This includes knowledge about Yoruba mythology, to which these odu are likewise linked, providing detailed, though intricate, information on the relationship between different actors and agents referred to in the odu, thereby endorsing the ranking between the odu, which is important for the appropriate application of the peculiar odu. Ifa and traditional Yoruba culture. For ascertaining not the origin of Ifa, but its rootedness in Yoruba culture and tradition for the sake of tracing its cosmological references and foundations, I turn to a setting where, according to the Yoruba self-perception and understanding, Ifa, as well as Yoruba identity, has got its very mythological foundation. Ile Ife in Southern Nigeria, the cosmogonic center of the Yoruba and the world. Here you have Ife. Ile Ife is a 26 cities, so to say, is made up of two cities. That is here at the very center of Yoruba land. This here is Yoruba land, well, going up to old Yoruba, generally here, that is the focus of Yoruba land. Ile Ife is literally the place where the earth has been spread and is in a way comparable to the sacred centers of the major religions and signifies for the Yoruba what Jerusalem signifies for Jews, Mecca for Muslims, or Benares for Hindus. It is the place where the tangible material of this world and the intangible immaterial of that world meet. Topographical representation of cosmogony and creation. Place of origin of the cosmic order and thereby axis mundi, axial center of the world. Plentiful mythological traditions link Yoruba culture, Yoruba religion, and Ifa divination to Ile Ife, the center of the world, as well as of the cosmos that is represented in the diviner's divination tree. Accordingly, the cycle of festivals, including a specific Ifa festival, reenacts the worldly order by referring to its mythological origin, irrespective of the fact that the gravity of political power had very early shifted to other places in Yoruba land, primarily to Odu. To Oyo. Normally, sometimes you come across the information that Oyo is considered more the political center of Yoruba land, while Ile Ife is the spiritual center of Yoruba land. I would not quite agree to this view. I mean, the factual political power has shifted to Oyo, that is true, but generally there is an overall cohesion that I would refer to as both a spiritual and a political cohesion that has kept together Yoruba land over many centuries. The festivals in Ile Ife evidence the vital importance not only of Ile Ife as orthogenetic epicenter of Yoruba civilization and history, but likewise of Ifa divination as some kind of genetic code of Yoruba tradition or as default mode of Yoruba identity. The multifaceted significance of both Ile Ife and of Ifa refers to the political and moral order of the community, as well as to the explanation and control of contingent events and their dynamics in time and space. Likewise, Ile Ife and Ifa are of importance in view of their role as cultural archives, storing knowledge about the past, the present, and the conjectured future. Due to its concrete applicability, Ifa divination is capable of developing the potential of providing individual or collective healing in case of disorder and turmoil. Ifa practices and concepts, at least in their archetypical format, are closely linked to the institution of sacred kingship and receive their authorization and legitimization through the lineages of the experts practicing Ifa divination. The Araba here, as the highest ranking expert in this field, is held to be a direct descendant of Ifa Orungila, the mythological creator of Ifa divination, and usually referred to as divination orisha. By operating the festival cycle related to Ile Ife generally and the Ifa festival specifically, the Araba reenacts ritually the connection between the sacred kingdom and Ifa or Orunmila. Consequently, the authority of the king, the Oni of Ife, is ceremonially endorsed by Ifa through the Araba, while the role of Ifa or Orunmila as representative of the epic 201 or sometimes 401 Orisha of Ile Ife is validated by the king. This again is reflected topographically in the sites of the temples and shrines that have been allocated to certain spaces in Ile Ife, thus incidentally determining the geographical site, expansion, and layout of Ile Ife. To put it in a different perspective, the overall setup of Ile Ife has been determined by a divinatory original resolution. This assertion is further emphasized by the claim that the corpus of Ifa text implicitly bears reference to the original conception of town planning regarding Ile Ife. As a result, the exceptional position of Ile Ife is based on Ifa divination. So we can conclude, without Ifa, no Ile Ife. And without Ile Ife, no manifestation of Ifa in this world. Ultimately, Ifa divination becomes the rationale of Yoruba civilization, culture, and tradition, something like its motive and its motif. Now on cosmology and performance. The cosmogonic foundation and cosmological extrapolation of Ifa divination is not only reflected in the abundant festival cycles in Ile Ife, none of these festivals could be done without Ifa, but also in every single feature of both the performances that actualize a rich ritual process and the entire apparatus, including a variety of ritual paraphernalia related to Ifa consultation. I will just pick up two more or less randomly selected examples of how instruments that at first glance serve just functional purposes become repercussive of the cosmos and of cosmic occurrences. First, the divining tray in itself represents the entire cosmos. This is reflected not just in the carvings on the tray, as Henry John Drewall, an expert in African art history, has observed. I quote from him, from his observations. While we marvel at the complex imagery on the trace border and wax eloquent about such sites, we forget the hollow area carved into the underside of the tree creates a sound chamber. The tree is a wooden drum. When an Ifa priest strikes its surface with the pointed end of a divination tapper, the sound reverberates in order to communicate between this world and the next. Sacred sounds, not just images, create a transcendent, evocative experience of art. Unquote. While I'm not so much concerned with the creative power of image and sound to induce transcending effects, it is evident that the ritual performance links the divination tool to the cosmos, thereby transforming the divination tray into a receiver of cosmic repercussions, or vice versa, evocating on it a cosmic resonance. So the divination tray transmutes into a cosmic soundboard, a resonating body of cosmic signals. The second example refers to the divining powder, hierosol. It is taken from a piece of wood infested by termites that eat through the white-colored parts of the African sandalwood tree. Hierosun is occasionally referred to in Yoruba mythology, even linking it to Olodumare, the highest being, and to the Orisha, Orunmila, that is, Ifa. While it is not quite clear why exactly termite-produced dust from other plants or trees is considered an unsatisfactory substitute, it is quite evident that the production process, so to say, of hierosun links micro and macro cosmic dimensions as well as life and death. And so it makes sense that any other surrogate like sand is absolutely unacceptable. Let us have a look at the arrangement of Yoruba cosmology. There is that world above, Orun, where we find Olodumare or Olumare or other names, a more or less inactive supreme being, and agents like Oduduwa, who is commissioned by Olodumare, and other Orisha, like, for us, the most interesting, Orunmila or Ifa. Orisha normally are ambiguous beings, sometimes referred to as gods. But there are other actors that I have not listed here in Orun, spirits and ancestors. In Aye, this world, our world here, we find humans, animals, plants, minerals, including Ile, the earth below, and the abode of Onile, the Orisha of the underworld. But this world here, Aye, including Ile, is, and the world above, Orun, are not separated from each other, but are uttermost permeable. That human beings become ancestors and can even turn into Orisha. So there is no dualistic ontology between beings or entities in this world or that world. Ashe, a foundational, performative and relational power pervading the entire cosmos, takes effect as source of all individual powers and of all empowerment, constituting communication and interrelation between all beings and entities that are actually altogether of the same ontic quality. Differences and specifics are generated by differing applications of Ashe's relational performative power. Consequently, Yoruba cosmology is characterized by attributing to the cosmos a holistic, equilibrium-like quality with highly permeable boundaries between this world and that world, and there is neither an ontological nor a moral dualism between the manifold beings and entities in these two spheres. While in everyday and festive practice, performative and ritual aspects prevail, Ifat divination is, in the final analysis, conceptually based on Yoruba cosmology. The non-dualistic, permeable setup of the Yoruba cosmos makes Ifat divination work, as it grants for experts in these fields, the diviners, the prospect to read the signs that link the individual's or the community's condition to its overall context, taking into consideration signs that hint to potential impacts beyond immediate evidence. In mythological terms, it is primarily through Orunmila or Ifa that divination can be activated or reenacted as a viable operation in this world while being rooted in that world. Etymologically, the origin of the name Orunmila is still debated. Its denotation may move around the semantic field of meanings like it is that word, Orun, that knows reconciliation, or that word knows who will be saved, though this is highly contested and still open to interpretation. Be that as it may, his epithet, the one living both in Aye and in Orun, points to Orunmila's special characteristic of moving between or habituating both this world and that world, indirectly relating him to the mythological origins of the cosmos when Aye and Orun were not yet distinct realms. This would also explain his honorary title, next in rank to Odumaren, which again would expound why he is attributed to advanced requests. For our purpose, even more significant is his honorary title, the Witness of Destiny. Orunmila, or Ifa, is said to have been present during man's creation, witnessing how man was provided with Ori, an inner head, the seal of fate or personal destiny. Consequently, Orunmila turns out to be the one who has got the knowledge and potentially the authority to convey this knowledge. To put it cautiously in different terms, Orunmila is the one who might be approached if someone would like to get information about incongruities or inconsistencies between one's destiny and one's present condition. There are further mythological traditions entwined around Orunmila, making him a sort of individualized communication and media center for the Orisha and ultimately for all other beings. Due to his wisdom and knowledge transcending any usual kind of knowledge, he is commissioned to function as some sort of pervasive advisory agency, as addressee for questions deriving from both practical everyday life situations and fundamental existential questions. Come now to epistemology in Ifa divination. Ifa epistemology rests on Yoruba cosmology. We could say that Yoruba cosmology, in a way, provides the ontological framework for Ifa epistemology by arranging for answers to questions about the actors and agents, agencies and actants, about the structure of the environment for activities and actions to be taken, about ways of identifying aims and objectives, as well as about the means of achieving them, and last but not least, about the real issue at stake, that is, about the question of what exactly is actually at the very heart of a problem. Yoruba cosmology is linked to Ifa epistemology by its focus on the intentionality and purpose of knowledge that is not just limited to knowledge, perception, cognition, insight, etc., as such and on its own. Rather, knowledge is intrinsically correlated with its practical, even pragmatic applicability for securing, affirming, and augmenting life, or to put it in the words of a Yoruba philosopher, I quote, "The Yoruba put a premium on the aspect of demonstration and application of knowledge, and often maintain that the main purpose of acquisition and sharing of knowledge is to give meaning and direction to the existential life of man." Unquote. This again is reflected in the Yoruba's understanding of truth. Oh, sorry, I missed to put it on. So the main purpose of knowledge is to give meaning and direction. That was the essence of this observation of Yoruba understanding of knowledge. Now, truth has got a cognitive and a moral dimension whereby the Yoruba clearly discern these two senses of truth. However, this does not imply that truth in the cognitive sense is irrelevant or inconsequential in relation to truth in the moral sense. At this point, I do not want to go into questions of the relationship between Yoruba theories of truth and theories of truth in Western epistemological traditions. I'm more concerned with a broader understanding of knowledge and epistemology for the purpose of examining the contextual specifics of epistemology in Ifa divination, for its transcultural potential, for its translatability. This, in a way, takes us back to discussions in the 1970s on the controversy about understanding other foreign thought in the cultural and social sciences, or the debate about African thought, and so on and so forth. I do not want to dig into this as well. In the meantime, I think the discussion has gone beyond the traditional dichotomy between those maintaining the claim to universal validity of Western epistemology on the one hand, and those advocating in rather essentialist terms an African epistemology in its own terms and based on a unique African mindset on the other. If I'm right, the broadly shared view on this issue is now one: yes, there is an African epistemology as a contextual theory of knowledge. Two, in practice, African epistemology makes use of universal epistemological tools as well. Three, these tools again are applied to specific problems that are embedded in and arise out of particular African contexts. As to the contextuality of African epistemology of knowledge, we cannot and must not any longer presume a kind of African mentality or unique African thought. In my view, it is fully sufficient to determine that there are different perspectives in the mode of specific conceptual framings that make the difference. This could work out by taking into consideration the impact of cosmology, by which, in this case, Yoruba epistemology is informed. From there, it becomes clear that the contextual divide is not along categories, for example, of rational versus irrational or self-world distinction. Here, self-world indistinction there, and so on, but simply on different conceptual systems that are not totally incompatible. Already nearly half a century ago, William Bascom rejected the idea that Ifa is an entirely esoteric system and designated it as essentially a projective technique comparable to the Rorschach test, pointing to the client's involvement in the divination process. Likewise, William Bascom referred to the universal dimension in Ifa divination and Yoruba epistemology. In one sense, the divination first, as he writes, reflect universal problems faced by human beings the world over, and values that are shared by many different systems of belief. In another, they mirror the way by which these common problems are viewed and these common values expressed in terms of Yoruba beliefs. This is in line with what other researchers have observed as general, if not universal, aspect of the epistemologies underlying any divination system. There is a need for special knowledge that can be attained through divination. Though this need is different from everyday life's needs, as well as the required knowledge to meet those needs, there are areas of problems, questions, and concerns not sufficiently taken care of by everyday knowledge. But nevertheless, action must be taken. The information necessary to respond effectively is available, but often only through a diviner, writes Peake. That is why divination continues to provide a trusted means of decision-making, a basic source of vital knowledge, unquote. Or to put it in other terms, ifat divination is a process of knowledge about the course of life. This includes knowledge in the shape of epistemic universals, fundamental notions or concepts that can be found generically in all human experience, as well as epistemic specifics, contextually bound to and positioned into culturally specific cosmologies. As cosmologies are open to change and the interplay of epistemic universals and specifics can stimulate transformation, the epistemology underlying ifat divination is different from, but not poles apart from, Western or other epistemologies. If it is true that there is a spectrum of beliefs from creedal beliefs to cultural beliefs to scientific theory on which knowledge as shared beliefs is based, we can talk about knowledge systems or domains or traditions represented by different knowledge communities. And if we assume that these knowledge communities-based knowledge systems, domains or traditions are not completely closed from each other, but are characterized by some kind of permeability that displays their respective boundaries and limitations, then there can be no definite incompatibility between the knowledge system manifest in ifat divination and other knowledge systems. From the perspective of a soft knowledge system theory, knowledge systems expose two different approaches or performances, the one being directed towards continuity a posteriori, the other towards transience a priori. This is a point where hardcore academic research and ifat divination meet, differing more on the level of methodology than on that of epistemology. While predictive studies require scientists to develop a new pragmatic mindset, working across spatial and temporal scales and developing complex knowledge systems, ifat divination demands the same, both from the experts, the babalawos, and the clients, though not in a methodologically formalized procedure. Predictive studies as well as ifat divination aim at what has been referred to as emergent knowledge that causes people to see the world differently and, by changing their behavior, can change the course of history. Or, to keep it more modestly in view of ifat divination, by decision making based on counsel and projective consideration, people are empowered to deal with contingencies. Come to the third point, transnational Ifa and global Yoruba culture. Mainly between the 1780s and the middle of the 19th centuries, slaves and indentured laborers from Yoruba-speaking areas were displaced from their homelands in what is today southwestern Nigeria, Togo, and Benin, and found themselves in present-day Sierra Leone, Brazil, Cuba, Trinidad and Tobago, or some areas in the USA. Like the people, the religious and cultural traditions of the Yoruba were scattered in these regions, tearing apart the more or less integrated cultural texture of Yoruba culture. Mainly Brazil and Cuba became places with an IFA tradition that was and is characterized by continuity and change. Instead of IFA divination, other Yoruba divination systems have become prevalent in the Americas, mainly the 16 cowries divination, but also the Kolanut divination. While there are quite some studies on changes in Yoruba culture and divinatory practices generally, research into transformations of genuine Ifa divination has only recently started. Both areas of investigation might merge in the long run, however, as both Ifa divination and 16 cowries divination, as well as Kolanut divination, interacted in a way that brought about hybrid types of Ifa divination. Due to our limited time frame, I will pick up just three aspects of transformations Ifa divination has gone through in the course of its cumulative globalization. The first is on transformation and the positioning of identity. As to Ifa divination in the narrow sense, continuity and change affect verbal, visual, ritual, and performative dimensions, thereby having an impact on the entire setup of Ifa divination at large. For example, in view of divinatory practices, pine nuts are substituted by kola nuts. Considering is recitation practices, there is a growing range of variations. With regard to music and dances, innovative forms are given a chance. And as to Ifa orature turning into Ifa scripture by becoming written down, the character of its incantation changes. The last mentioned aspect is endorsed by inquiries observing continuity in wording and innovation in the style. This continuity in wording could be interpreted likewise as elemental permanency of the Odu Ifa due to an inscription in terms of a resilient, unchanging signification system that is communicated as some kind of set message to the client during its actualization through incantation. If this interpretation is not totally wrong, it may likewise serve as a starting point for tracing Ifa divination as a tool that by relating or even negotiating change and continuity in terms of time, space, and identity, provides for the repositioning oneself, in reference to and guided by what has been referred to as sacred compass for reading self and world. This would be comparable to the role of holy scriptures in major religions, which as text and performance for the faithful grant guidance and comfort. I skipped, because of time, the second aspect on hybrid forms of Ifa divination and proceed to Ifa and cutting-edge technologies. Over the last decades, there has been a broad revival, or at least a growing awareness of Yoruba culture in the Americas and beyond. This is reflected in, or finds expression in, phenomena like Oyotunji African Village in South Carolina, which became the projection screen for activists in Yoruba revivalism, or the reconstruction and reenactment of Orisha religion as Yoruba world religion. The transformation of Ifa divination is part of these processes. Yoruba revivalism goes along with popularization and mediatization. In this respect, there has been a trend over the last years to offer Ifa divination for a broader public, whereby we can distinguish between individual, private, and community-related public or civic consultation, each referred to as readings, while for the ordinary individual consultations, various methods of Yoruba divination can be used. Public and civic divination readings are usually based on Ifa divination techniques and directed towards specific addresses, the Afro-Americans, the USA, or the world. A striking example of this is the Reading of the Year performed by a living Babalawo in Oyotunji and broadly disseminated by the media. Another crucial aspect in the transformation of Ifá divination is its usage of modern technologies. I would like to give a striking example of this by referring to a very interesting case. I will comment on that after the video.
In order to come for a consultation for Ifá divination, and that you're here to solve a problem, we pray to Ifá that your problem will be solved. The Yoruba religion is made up of an ethnic group that is from the southwestern region of Nigeria and has spread throughout the African diaspora. And what we're going to be doing today is really looking at a major part of the practice called Ifá divination. We've developed an iPhone app so that a person can at least simulate what it might be like to be in a ritual space in Yoruba religion. Ifá is the deity of wisdom for all Yoruba practitioners. We now want you to take the divination chain and pray silently. And the client would ask a question silently, and the priest would pick up that divination chain and call on the divinity of wisdom, Ifá, to share a message of helpfulness for the client.
The deity is telling us that you're going to go find life. There might be some tribulations on your way, but you're going to find joy.
When the chain actually falls on the ground, there's four seeds on the right side of the chain, and there's four seeds on the left. And those seeds can either land up or down. And there's 256 possibilities for how the chain can fall. So once the priest is able to read the chain, there are thousands, literally thousands of verses connected to each of those 256 signatures. So the priest would then recall upon his or her memory of all of the stories in that particular signature until the client finds one of those verses helpful. Please tell us if any of the wisdom that Ifá shared with you relates to your problem.
My question was if I would be successful in my future job, and it was helpful because it told me that there will be some problems, but I will be successful in the end.
Good question. So we developed the iPhone app so that a practitioner who is in training can carry around a virtual Ifá divination chain in order to memorize all 256 signatures, really anywhere they are in their everyday lives. If you wanted to do, for example, the last major signature of Ifá called Ofumenji, then you would represent it this way. You would represent it on a divination chain identically as this, where you have a closed seed, open, close, and open, and the right side is identical to the left side. The second thing is that if you forget a verse, you can refer to your iPhone or your iPad, and you're going to move it just as you would the chain. You can use the iPhone and the iPad to perform a technique of Ifá divination. So you move it to the front.
May the front of the tray.
You call on the four directions of the universe to communicate with the deity of wisdom on behalf of a client. Now throw the chain by shaking the iPad, okay? And you'll see that one of the major signatures of Ifá comes out. These practices are passed on from mouth to mouth. Many of the verses and sacred texts and practices of Yoruba religion are being forgotten. So we thought this was a good way to preserve some of this tradition.
This example is not only of interest as to the application of cutting-edge technology to Ifá divination. The person having developed this tool is himself an interesting illustration of transformation processes of Ifá divination. Onaji Woodbine has started a career as a basketball player in an Ivy League team, but then left for studying philosophy and theology. Recently, Columbia University Press published his revised doctoral dissertation at Boston University, Black Gods of the Asphalt, Religion, Hip-Hop, and Street Basketball, long listed for the 2017 Penn Award for Literary Sports Writing. Between 2004 and 2012, Woodbine was trained in Ifa divination and initiated as a Babalawo. Likewise interesting is that he was initiated by Bishop Ezekiel Lijadu, head of an African institute in church, the Evangelist Band Mission, which proves the strong permeability between different religious traditions and Ifa divination. I would like to conclude this talk by very briefly summarizing the major observations. First, Ifa divination has been the very adhesive of traditional Yoruba society, polity, culture, and everyday life. Rooted in cosmology, mediated by mythology, and enacted by ritual performance in highly diversified settings comprising the entirety of Yoruba spheres of life, it serves as universal device for keeping together the contingent, ambiguous, and disruptive forces by explaining their interplay, thereby providing what I would refer to as open orientation, including prospects of conceivable control and prediction. Two, Ifa divination has, as a tool for knowledge production, provided its belief community with knowledge drawn from a contextual epistemology that was both productive in reproducing well-proven or established, as well as in absorbing unfamiliar or external, and in producing new or innovative knowledge, thereby serving as a reliable resource of decision-making based on the allocation and appropriation of vital knowledge. Three, Ifa divination has been the backbone of traditional Yoruba culture, but likewise with the globalization of Yoruba culture has transmuted into transnational Ifa that by negotiating change and continuity provides for repositioning identities both individually and collectively. Both anamnesis and diagnosis, Ifa divination offers treatment by sensitizing for external conditions and internal dispositions, thereby paving the way for thoughtful decision making. Four and final, I have not made any reference to religion in my talk. Even more, I have even hardly mentioned the term religion. This may have taken you by surprise, as from the perspective of the academic study of religion, the idea seems to suggest itself that Ifa divination and religion are closely interrelated and maybe mutually self-explicatory. However, it is exactly from the perspective of the academic study of religion that I would like to exercise extreme caution. While it is a trivial or even banal truism that the answer to the question of the interplay between religion and Ifa divination depends largely on the definition or understanding of religion, both the broadest possible and the most sharply bounded demarcation of religion may lead us astray. While Ifa divination from ancient times, both in its theoretical foundation and in its practical application, seems to have been endowed with religion, it may, and in fact, it can, work just as well without any references to religion. Maybe exactly this is at the very heart of the amazing flexibility, translatability, and resilience of Ifa divination in entirely new contexts. While religions may more or less die easy, Ifa divination may survive as it continues to provide what has been metaphorically called a sacred compass for reading self and world. Delete the sacred, and it works as well. Thank you very much for your attention.